So, we're in 1 John, and let me read the verses we'll be looking at today, and we'll talk about their context. Chapter 4, verse 19 through 21. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for demonstrating that love upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who was willing to bear such wrath upon himself for us. And Lord, to take our punishment so that we might have eternal life, so that we might hear your word today by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask you to guide us in your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Transform us into the image of Christ, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Well, I mentioned these verses in context. We're in the fourth chapter, and we've been talking about the structure of 1 John, and I got a new illustration. I was actually at a yogurt shop to get this illustration. So how do you get that? Well, I was looking at vanilla, and I was looking at chocolate. Both of them looked good. Of course, I had the taste test. Yes, they were both very good. And then Romans is sort of like if you pull the vanilla down, you got the vanilla here, and you pull the chocolate down, you got the chocolate, and one after the other. And that's sort of like his message, his letters. You've got, take the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3 is what we are to believe about God, and chapters 4 through 6 are what are we to do in application to what we believe about God. And it's so with Colossians and other of the books. But then there's the middle one, and you pull on that, and it does the swirl. And I said, that's like 1 John. Because John likes to take everything and kind of turn it around, and he'll come back again, and you'll see that in the message today as we're talking about loving the brethren. And so I have some questions to remind us of what we've already looked at in the Gospel of John. First of all, do we know the five reasons that the apostle wrote this book? Well, Brother Tom preached a message just last hour about fellowship and the lack of thereof that was going on in Corinth, but this book was written so that we might have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And then also that our joy may be full, that we may stop sinning and turn away from sin, that we may be protected from false teachers, and that we might believe that we have eternal life, or it's a book on assurance, and we might continue to believe in the Lord. And then we ask the question, what are the three declarations of God's essential being that John wraps all his thoughts around? And it's the commentator Robert Candlish who actually, I hope his name's Robert, it's Candlish, who points out very clearly that in the first chapter it says, God is light. And so it talks about walking in light and about truth. And then in chapter 2 it says, he is righteous. And then it begins talking about the righteousness we should be walking in or that we are not walking in. And then in the section we're in here, God is love. And this is a great section going from beginning in chapter 3 all the way through the third verse of chapter 5. Now, you might ask the question, well, what about the other essential characteristics of God? And this is why we look at the whole Bible. If you do a study of the book of 1 John and you put look in your thesaurus or you look in your computer and you put in the word holy, it only comes up one or two times depending on the translation you use. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And so it's not that God is not holy in this book. It talks about him being righteous. And if he's righteous, he's holy. But so this points out to us that we really need the whole counsel of God. We need to be looking at Isaiah chapter 6, where it is said of the Lord that he is holy, holy, holy. And Brother Tom was teaching on the Ten Commandments, which certainly declares his holiness. So those three things, his light, his righteousness, and his love, are pointed out here in John. And then if we're asked, what are the two most prominent relationships found between the Lord and his people in 1 John, it is Martin Lloyd-Jones who points out that it's fellowship with the Lord and the fact that we are his children, and that he deals with that constantly through the book. And are you not thankful for that, that we have fellowship with him as his children? And then we ask, what is the most prominent way that the Lord has demonstrated his love to us? And in 1 John 3:16, if we read that, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And then in 4:9, it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And then it says later, tells us that he is the propitiation for our sins. So this is that prominent way that God's love is not just a thought or something in his heart, but it was demonstrated. And then we ask the question, and this is from last week's message, how may we have confidence in the day of judgment? And 4:17 says, because as he is, so are we in this world. We talked about three ways that we are like him in this world. We are united to Christ. What is he in heaven? Right now he is one with the Father. And so are we one with the Father and the Son. And then we looked at the fact that he is righteous. And in this world, as he is righteous in heaven, we are righteous now by faith, by justification. And then as he is holy in all his ways, he's working in us by his Spirit to begin doing those kinds of things. When you find that you are loving the brethren, we don't trust in our love, but we trust in the God who actually has caused us to love. And when we find ourselves laying down our lives for the brethren, we don't trust that, but we trust that the Spirit is working in our hearts to bring that to our minds. How can we do this? And so you have this matter of union with the Lord, you have justification, and in our sanctification, there's encouragement that God is at work. And then we ask the question, what is the commandment most given by our Lord in 1 John? And this is an interesting study. He commands us 6 times to love our brother. And we saw it there in verse 21 when he says that we read, in this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. But he'd also commanded this in 3:11, 3:16, 3:23, 4:7, and 4:11, and then finally here in 4:21. And you think about, I think about my English teacher. She said, don't be so redundant when you're writing your papers. Don't use the same word over and over again. And I'm saying, God says, I'm going to be redundant. I'm going to tell you this over and over again. It seems like we must have a problem with this. We must forget this. Maybe it's something we have to think about all the time, or we're not going to be loving the brethren as we should. And while I was doing this study, there's the antithesis, not loving his brother, and that's there in verse 20 when it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So you have the antithesis, and that's 5 times in this book, in chapter 3:10, 3:14, 3:15, and 4:20, really twice there, talking about hating his brother and not loving his brother. But then, and he's given these 6 commands to love, 6 times the command to love our brethren, but 5 times he actually says, we already do this. And that's in 2:10, 3:14, 4:12, 5:1, and 5:2. And we just didn't go on to read, but 5:2 says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also, loves him who is begotten of him. So it says something that we do love him. And then verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So if anyone doesn't love God, they're not born again. If they love God, it says we're loving the brethren and doing that. So it's an amazing book, and we just sang about the love of God. At the nursing home, we sang page 1 in our booklets, Holy, Holy, Holy. And so we have this God who is holy, who has given his Son, who has commanded us to love one another. So how are we going to deal with these 3 verses? Well, we're going to ask a question about verse 19. What is the source of our love? In verse 20, we're going to ask the question, what does it mean if someone says they love God and hates his brother? And then in verse 21, we'll ask the question, what is the Lord's imperative regarding love? So what is the source of our love? Well, verse 19 says very clearly, we love him because he first loved us. And we know that if he hadn't done that, we would never love. And you might ask the question, why doesn't everybody love then? I mean, doesn't he love the world and gave his only begotten son? He does. But you must understand there is a general love of God for all of his creation. There's a very specific love for his children for whom he died. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her specifically. And he also tells us in the book of John chapter 10 that he has given his life for the sheep. He doesn't mention the goats there, that he gave his life for them. So there's this very specific love of God. And we love because he first loved us in this specific electing way. We are reminded of this also in Hebrews 12:2, when it says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He began all of this. It tells us twice in the book of Acts in 5:31 and 11:18 that he grants repentance. If he didn't initiate our repentance, we would never be saved. It tells us in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So our faith is a gift of God. He's the initiator. We love him because he first loved us. And then John 15:5 says, without me, you can do nothing. So have we loved the brethren in the past? Well, we're to love them in the future, and that love is going to come from God. And aren't you glad? Because he has an infinite store. And he doesn't. He's not stingy with his love either. So what is the source of our love? It is the Lord himself. And then from verse 20, the question, what does it mean if someone says they love God and hate the brethren? Well, very clearly it says that they are a liar. Now the Bible says there's not very many liars in heaven. And I suppose there's a day in which a Christian could hate another Christian for a time. But I know the Holy Spirit of God is going to convict us when that happens. And you notice also, someone can say, well, I mean, I love God, but I don't really hate the brethren. But notice how he says it further in this verse. He who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So he equates hating the brother with not loving the brother. And you could say, well, I just don't like this brother and I just kind of avoid him. Well, avoiding a brother is not loving him. And I think the definition here is that you're really showing hatred to that brother if you are avoiding them. So the first thing I want to point out here in this verse is not just that he is a liar, but there's a person who says, I love God, period. But yet they don't really love the brethren. They really hate the brethren, and they made God a liar. And that love is not a sentiment. And both Candlish and Lloyd-Jones spend time saying the love of God that we're supposed to show to the brethren isn't love that is just in the closet. And we love the Lord in the closet. We rejoice. We pray. It's like everything is wonderful. We've repented of our sins. We're joy unspeakable and full of glory. We love the Lord. We walk out of the closet, though, and we say something unkind to our wife. I mean, the dishes are still in the sink. What happened to you? Why didn't you wash them up, sir? Show love to your wife. So it's so easy. Have you ever noticed that, how quickly you can sin? I mean, you were in cloud nine, and then all of a sudden you jumped into the pit of hell. Why did I do that? Well, what do we read in Jeremiah 17? The heart is desperately wicked. Only God can know how sin can pop out of a heart that's really born again. And in heaven it will not be so, but it is here. And so love is not this just sentiment in the mind. That's not the love of God, because the love of God is not just love that he has, it's love that he shows. And you remember in the book of 1 John, we'd pointed out that when it says, we're reading along, and I hope I can find it again. Someone help me. There it is, verse 12. Verse 12 says, no one has seen God at any time. Now you notice verse 11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And if you skip over that sentence I just read, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. If we redacted that sentence, no one has seen God at any time, and just took it out, no one would really know it wasn't. We would never miss it. We would never say something is wrong. God put that in here. It's like, now I want you to remember, when you're loving the brethren, no one has seen God at any time. So how are you going to show the love of God? You're going to have to show it to people that you see, because he sees us. We don't see him, but he sees us, and he loves us. He wants us to love like he loves, and so we're going to love people. You remember Matthew 25 says, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. The Lord takes it very personally, how you show love to one of his brothers or sisters, or how you do not. He takes that personally, because in Matthew 25 it says, as much as you have not done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've not done it unto me. So it's not a sentiment. It is something expressed. And then, so what does it mean if there is the absence of this love? Well, the verse says it's hatred. It really is hatred if you don't love your brother. And so how can this hatred really be shown? Well, it tells us in chapter 5, it says, verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So if you're really not loving the brethren and hating them, you don't love God. Make sure you understand. You're saying I love God, but you don't really love God in heaven, because the God in heaven would make you love the brethren. You understand that? So you really don't love God. Secondly, a way we could show hatred to our brother is just by not forgiving them, bearing that grudge. And anyone can do this. And you always kind of bring it up in the back of your mind. You're always holding it over them in some way. And so we can show that hatred by not forgiving them. We can show it by this very book. It says, shutting up our bowels of compassion from our brother. We see he has a need. And I've seen this happen before. Someone says, well, the Lord hasn't led me to fulfill that need. And I know they could have fulfilled it. They're the ones who found out about it first and they told me about it. And I'm thinking, well, why don't you take care of the problem? And so then I hope I did something. I don't know if I did something either. But that's what we have. We must do it if we have the ability. And we have the brother or sister before us, and God lets us know, and no one else, maybe. Maybe a whole church needs to know about this so they can all help. But we shut up our bowels of compassion. Another way of showing hatred for our brother or not loving them is by not laying down our lives for him. And this is an astounding statement in this scripture. In this book, it tells us that if we're going to love our brethren, we lay down our lives for them. And what does that mean? What is your life? Isn't that everything you are? Isn't that all that you have with all your being? I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to flush your bank account out more than once. It's already gone once. But you find a way to lay down your life. I think we mentioned in another message that if someone's home was burned down, I'm pretty sure someone in this church would find a way to say, mi casa es tu casa, come to my house. You have a home in our home. And they did that in the book of Acts. No one ever said, my house is my house, because they had such a need under such persecutions that who knows what was going to happen. In the book of Hebrews, it says they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Well, if your goods are spoiled, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead. That how Christians are going to be viewed. It looks like the lights are getting turned down in this country. And to be a Christian at one time, that was a way to become president. Now, and that is not the way to become president. You probably don't want people to know that you're going to church all the time. It could look bad on your record. I mean, everything has been turning upside down. Good is being called evil. Evil is being called good. And Christians that were once and preserved in a nation with a constitution, forget that. We are the ones with the book with the greatest amount of hate speech in it. They could say that. And so we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. But the way to love them is just don't do it. Preserve your life. Keep your life. What did the Lord Jesus say? You save your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. He will make the last first. How about being self-righteous? That's a way to look down at your brother and hate him. How about judging your brother? Romans 14 says the Lord is able to make him stand, but we judge one another. It's easy to be that way, to be destructively critical. My mother used to talk about, you need to have constructive criticism, Mitch. You need to say things that are helpful, you know, and instead of probably saying things very, very destructively critical to three younger sisters. How about gossiping about your brother? Talking about him when that's something you really ought to talk to them personally if there's a problem and then take care of that. But it doesn't need to go anywhere else. Another way is to ignore one's brother or sister. I just don't talk to them. If I talk to them, then there'll be a problem. That isn't the way God would have us to be. We have to deal with problems. We have to work through them. And I think you'll find, we think of Yodi and Syntyche. Remember in the book of Philippians that these were prominent women who had helped and served with Paul in the gospel, and he has to write a book about unity. If you read the book of Philippians, there's a whole lot of unity, and then you get to chapter 4. Oh, by the way, Yodi and Syntyche, you need to be of the same mind in the Lord. How were they treating each other? Maybe they were ignoring each other. Maybe they were being harsh to each other. Maybe the families, I can see, were kind of sitting on the other side of the building from one another. It happens. But we don't want to be that way. We don't want to ignore our brother or sister. He does not seek his brother's best good, just not even looking out for them. He excludes his brother from fellowship and friendship. You know, Jesus ate with publicans, sinners, people that, I mean, you could defile your name eating with someone like that. And in a church, we can get in cliques. You know, here's the cool people and here's the not so cool people, whoever those might be. The Lord's going to, he's chosen the weak and poor of this world, weak in faith, strong in faith, excuse me. He's chosen the poor of this world, strong in faith. And so the Lord is, he's made them all. And we are to love them all, of whatever place they are in the church. He does not consider his brother as more important than himself. That's a hard commandment, to take the whole church and say they're all more important than I. Look at your own heart. It helps you to put them in a place that would make them more important. And then he continues without repentance of secret sins or respectable sins, as Jerry Bridges' book would say. And I enumerate some of those that he has stated in his book. Anxiety, frustration, discontentment, unthankfulness, selfishness, lack of self-control, impatience, irritability, anger, judgmentalism, envy, jealousy, worldliness. All these things that we can commit sins, we're showing we really don't love the brethren if we continue in those sins. Because if we did love our brethren, we would not. So, if there's someone who says, I love God, and they hate the brethren, they're liars. And they're showing that they do not love God. And then thirdly, about verse 21, what is the Lord's imperative regarding love? Well, as we had read in earlier, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, the New King James that I read from has the word must in there in italics. And I think they just put it in there because it is an imperative. God commands us to love our brothers. Six times in this book, the Lord Jesus is the one who said that he's going to give us a new commandment, that we are to love one another as he loves us. The Old Testament had already said we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, but he is adding to that, and he says, I want you to love them as I love them. I love them in their sin. I love them as weak. I love them as outcast. Over in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6, it says this, if I can get there. And when I passed by you, I saw you struggling in your own blood. I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. This word struggling there is alternatively translated polluted in your own blood, wallowing in your own blood, squirming in your own blood. This is where God saw us and loved us. And we are to love each other in that way, in this looking at a brother or sister as one, as Tom taught us well, washed in the blood of Christ. They are struggling in their sin. We are to love them still. And so, what do we have to help us in this endeavor of loving one another? Well, we have consideration of the death of Christ on our behalf, as we read earlier, that this is what John says. This is how God demonstrated his love, in that he gave his son. And if he's given his son for us, how then should we show this to the brethren? And this is what John does. He points us to the cross, and he says, if you're looking at the cross, then you should be able to love your brother also. We've been born of God. The Spirit of God has come into a very darkened heart and given light. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? The first statement of that is love. He births love in our hearts. We begin loving people that we didn't love before. We can love people that we could never love before. And that's the love of God. And then we believe God. I mean, the fact that we believe God means we trust in him to work in our hearts to grant us love for the brethren, to help us work through all of the weaknesses we have in that. We're going to grow in this whole life in obeying this verse. I pray that next week you will love the brethren more than this week. And in the last week of your life, you'll say, I love them most I've ever loved them, and the Lord takes you on. We know that in the book of 1 Corinthians, there were some Christians that we read about, you know, that the Lord, he disciplined them very, very soundly. He actually took them to heaven early. Some were sickly because they were not loving the brethren. Well, we're sitting here in good health, I trust. We're not staying home because we dishonor the Lord at the Lord's table. And may the Lord help us grow. We don't have to dive into sins. We don't have to start hating our brother and not loving him and have the Lord teach us. You need to love them in very strong ways. And, I mean, I've heard of younger children. I knew this one family that the oldest was always getting into trouble and the younger one never did, because he saw what the older was happening. He said, I don't think I'm going in that direction. Well, the Lord has shown us what happens in the scriptures when people really don't love each other. He takes them home early. And we can grow. We can be like the Thessalonian church. I know that Billy likes to teach through that book. And I love this verse. He says, I really don't need to teach you about the love of God because you already know this. Of course, he's actually putting in a seed there. And may you grow in it more. It's a tremendous church that loved the Lord like that, that he would not have to say it. So may this church, we're going to be known for something. I mean, there's seven churches in the book of Revelation. They were known for various things. You read the Philadelphian church, he never says anything negative about them. Now, I'm sure he can say negative things about us, but may we grow to where if the Lord wrote a letter to us, it'd be more like the Thessalonian letter than the Galatian letter, the Corinthian letter, because he could write a letter to us right now, how we are loving the brethren or not. We want to be concerned about their needs. We want to be observant of them in their persons. We want to hold them up in prayer. We want to exhort them daily. These are things we do in loving them. We want to be faithful to the stated meetings of the church so that we might be able to bless them with our presence. We want to keep the Lord's commandments. This is how we show love to the brethren. We want to set a good example for the brethren of faith, hope, and love in the Holy Spirit. We want to trust in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we will love the brethren. So it's a commandment that the Lord has given us, very, very certain. And he takes it personally. Now, there are many verses in the scriptures about one another. And I'm just going to read a few out of the book of Romans. 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. So this brotherly love is couched here by affection and by giving honor. And then in 12:16 it says, be of the same mind toward one another. It doesn't mean we're clones. but it means all of us love one another by pointing each other to Christ, keeping our minds upon Him, believing the same things about the Lord is a way of showing love to one another. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 14:13, therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way, to not judge one another anymore. Romans 15:5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I love this verse, and I wish I could obey it like it says. Receive one another just as Christ also received us. Now, how do you think He's going to receive you when you enter into heaven? Is He going to say, man, it was pretty nice up here until you got here? No, it's going to be these open arms of joy and love, wiping the tears from our eyes. He receives us as washed. And we're to greet one another with a holy kiss. It's this, I get to be with you. I get to see you. Yes, you're my brother or my sister. And that only the Lord can give that to us. You can fake this stuff. That doesn't work. But may the Lord give us a spirit-filled heart to really love one another as He has commanded. Because He can do that. In this very book, it tells us that we receive the things that we ask of Him because we keep His commandments. One of those is to love one another. And it says in chapter 5, it says, if we ask anything according to His will, He will do it. Lord, I need more love for the brethren. You can do this. You can change me and make me more like Your Son who loved the brethren and gave Himself for them and died for them. And Lord, then I can lay down my life. Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And He wasn't saying that because you'll never do it. He was saying because He would do it and then command us to do the same. Well, we've considered the source of our love, the Lord Himself. We've considered what it is to say I love the Lord and really hate the brethren. We are just liars. And we've considered this Lord's great imperative to love one another. And may He give us grace to do so. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You do love us. We do thank You, Lord, that You receive us in Christ Jesus as Your children, Your dear children, Your beloved children. And Lord, how we do not deserve this. We thank You for Your infinite kindness. Lord, that You're always loving us, even when we sin against You, Lord, and You must discipline us. You love us still. Lord, we thank You for a flock of people that You save by the grace of God. We thank You, Lord, that You're able to draw us yet closer to You this week. Help us to walk in Your word, Lord. Help us to walk in remembrance of what Tom has taught, what we've learned this afternoon, what we've sung, Lord, what we've prayed, what brethren have talked about during the lunch feast. And so, Lord, we just ask You to help us to walk with You this week if You tarry Your coming. We pray for our children that they might be saved at tender ages. We pray that we might be examples to them, that they would cry out and want to be like Mommy and Daddy. We pray, Father, for those in our midst who have not yet come to Christ, that they would find Him one who will receive them, who receives all that come to Him by Jesus Christ. The Father receives all that come by Jesus Christ. And Father, we just look to see what You have for us today. Lord, this is Your day. We pray to continue in observing the Lord's day, resting in You. And Lord, we ask You for strength for this week, to walk in You and to serve You in every day. We do pray for those mothers here that are still at home with children, fathers that are coming home to homes where children may need to be disciplined, that You will grant them patience and love, wisdom, Lord, beyond their abilities and beyond their experience. Father, I do pray for Fred as he's traveling, Lord, that You would bless him with his family, with Josh and with Joanna. And we thank you for Gracie, who will be graduating. Pray that you bless Debbie, Lord, who's had trouble with pain. And we do pray you'd continue to minister to her and raise her up. And Father, we just commit our lives to you, Lord. Help us to love you more. Thank you for loving us infinitely. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.